Veterans Voice is a show that connects veterans and active members of the military to qualified guests who help you find programs and benefits you qualify for and discuss housing, education, career training, and other topical matters. Every show addresses issues that affect your life. Call in and share your experience. 781-837-4900.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Happy Pi Day.
Yes.
The whole radio station here is talking about the wonderfulness of pi. But I think that before we get too far into this, and I'm sure if I don't mention it, Wolfie will be beating me over the head after the show, that I drove into the parking lot today, and I'm coming down Route 139, and there's a line of cars on Route 139 coming into Enterprise Drive. There's never a line of cars. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. We need.
Wolfie's under arrest.
Oh, God, we're in trouble. Him. And as I was driving in, I counted 80 cars in line at 10:30 this morning.
For the food drive.
For the food drive.
Wow.
Yeah.
And must have had enough bags. There was nothing left over.
No, I got 140 pantry cases.
And they were all gone.
They're all gone. So it was over 10,000 pounds of food and over 10,000 pounds of sodas.
What, we gave away Pepsi Colas?
Yeah, it was like half a dozen cases, and they're like 2,000 pounds a case.
Yeah.
So that's Pi Pepsi.
Wow.
None of my guys are smart enough
Pi Day Pepsi?
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so we have this.
We started out with two cookies and a crawler.
And an idea and that maybe. Because this started when Wolfie was doing his Thanksgiving and Christmas food
giveaway. Yeah, and the End Hunger, that's all it was the End
Hunger.
That was 47 meals. The first Thanksgiving we did out of Daddy's was 47 meals. And right, hang on, it's right in Howell. We did 1,000 meals this year with 12,000 pounds of pantry bag food with it and delivered 800 meals. So Greg turned us into a monster.
You know, and then we started, Wolfie and I are talking over a beer, and I asked him if he thought that the people that we gave the food to in December, do you think they're getting hungry again in January?
Yeah.
You think they'd have to eat again?
Yeah.
You know, so we said, oh, we'll do it. And it was just COVID, so we'll do it on a drive-through basis. Nobody touches anything. We can't give it up now. We got so many people dependent on us every month that the insecurity problem is not going away. I don't think it's going to go away for a while.
Going away. Everything a year ago was $1. Now it's $4. But the genius that Greg figured out a lot of the things. We did it out of the radio station so we can really push it. And then the COVID protocol was you don't get out of the car. And we just did that because of the bugs and stuff, COVID. But now it's so efficient. We were all done. We started at 10:30, and we were all done by 11:30. That was way over 100 cars. So they just say, how many people in the family? Let's get to the real stuff first. How many dogs and cats?
Let's be serious. We handled the furry friends.
And Greg got those people, too, the South Shore Pets. And they hardly slow down. We fill the car up. They tell the same lousy jokes they've always been telling.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is two really important things is, one, Greg and I and Justin figured this out by accident. We used to see these big fancy cars pull up. We're bullshit. We're going over there to pull them out of the car and beat their ass. They go, no, we're getting food for neighbors that can't get out. So that's really our pet project now is to get the neighbors that have a couple of bucks and they have a car and they have the internet and all that crap. So we want them to get the food for the people who can't get out. And a lot of people are proud. That's why they're not doing it.
So we don't ask any names, addresses, phone numbers. You don't have to sign up. You don't have – just show up.
Drive through, just say how many of the
family. And everybody says, oh, that's really easy, really easy. Yeah. No, it's because he and I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Yeah, everyone says,
and if we ever did it, we could never find out who registered.
Right.
It would be about 2 weeks late in the, we'll catch you next month.
I have you listed for February of 2020, 4 years later.
Yeah, come on, come on.
73 cats, no
So that's people. Kind of the way we do it. And we've been doing this now 3 years, almost 3.5 years, and Luckily, the weather has been cooperating. We've had very little inclement weather over the
But if not, we do the rain
years,
the
But they're still there.
In the heat, we still do it.
There's about 30 volunteers.
Yeah, they just all show up.
That come and sometimes we get donations in bulk. So one of the things is the Plymouth...
Social Community Action Council.
Yeah, and the not the hospital, the prison.
Yeah, that aqua thing with the...
They have the hydroponics program. They give us quantities of fresh vegetables. We portion it out and put some in every bag. So that's kind of the way we've decided that it works for us now for what we've done, and we're just going to keep on going. So,
and one other important thing, too, is Greg actually started to ask them to give gift cards. We couldn't figure out what to do. There's 100 cars come by, say you have 10 or 20 gift cards, so we couldn't figure out what to do. So my sister figured it out. She has a secret double probation slush fund. So, like, a guy from Southie just came by, rolled down the window, handed him $100, we give it to Kim. So Kim takes the gift cards and the cash, and once there's a couple bucks, she goes to a food wholesaler. And say tuna or something's on, she gets protein. So something's on sale, so she gets a truckload of really good stuff. So that's what we're doing with the contributions from the money and the credit card. What do you call it? Gift cards.
Gift cards. Fantastic.
So, we're making do with what we have, Sergeant, you know? Like you got to do out in the field.
Oh, yeah.
You got to make do, you got to complete the mission, and welcome to the show, Sergeant. Yeah. We've been dibble dabbling. I know Sergeant Russell, you and I have been talking for a while. Welcome, and thanks for joining the show. We happen to be a good friend of the ESGR group, and we are recipients of the Seven Seals Award by the ESGR group for our support of the National Guard and Reserves.
Awesome.
And look at the size of you, welcoming the representing the Guard. Welcome aboard. Sergeant,
you.
Want to introduce yourself, please?
Oh, awesome. Thank you. My name is Staff Sergeant Matthew Russell. I'm a recruiter with the Massachusetts Army National Guard. Been doing this for about 5-6 years now. Just a great, great job. It's very rewarding, beneficial. Setting these kids or anybody up for success, giving them the opportunity to change their life, being able to, give them all these opportunities and just letting them run with it. Building the relationships with these kids, and sometimes older people.
Sure.
Or even prior service,
we're
too.
We're going to want to talk about opportunities a lot through the show. Because I think that's one of the, one of the things that you have. You're not going to hand something to people on a silver platter, but here's the opportunity to work a little bit, get involved, and be part of the mission again.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. This. A whole bunch of different ways, different paths, different opportunities, so many things that you can do with it. And it's just about, kind of making that first step to find out. And that's, basically what my baseline is when I talk to these kids or whoever that are interested, just coming into the Guard to say, hey, listen, what is your goal and how are you going to get there? Because we have a whole bunch of things that can help you get there. So...
And so, is there an average age you think that you're kind of targeted? I know the 18, but is there an average age? Does it come out to like 21, 22? Or?
Well, actually, it's they can start at 17,
right?
Parents' permission.
Yeah.
But we take everybody up until the actual age is 35, but we can actually get waivers up to 42 years old.
Wow, very nice, very nice.
Well, my parents signed my 17 when I was 17. Yeah. They signed my papers.
It was actually at birth.
Yeah. Little did you know.
I think they were trying to get rid of me right away, but
little did you know. But we have a caller on the line. Our good friend George, VSO of High Acclaim, is on the line out there. Larry, why don't you put George through? George, you out there?
Yes, I am, Greg. How are you doing tonight?
Very, very well, Georgie. Thanks a lot for calling in. What's going on?
That wasn't a fair question to ask if he's right out there.
Yeah.
We knew that.
Yeah, he's out there.
Welcome home, brother.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, George.
I appreciate it.
How's everything going, brother?
It's going very well. And I apologize for changing the pace a little bit here. But there's an event going on in Weymouth in a couple of weeks that I was hoping to share with your audience, if that's okay.
Oh, please do. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, March 29th, in addition to being Good Friday, is also the 50th anniversary of the last troops in Vietnam, when the last troops left the country itself.
Yep.
And we're holding a welcome home luncheon in Weymouth for Vietnam era veterans that were in country or served during that time. And it's going to be held on March 29th from 2 to 4 at the American Legion Post in South Weymouth.
Okay.
And we would just like to open it up to, you know, Weymouth veterans and friends of Weymouth veterans, which covers most of the South Shore. And, you know, anybody would like to attend, just like them to give a call to my office so that we can, you know, plan accordingly.
Hey, George, what's the number out there?
781-340-2405.
And George is at the Senior Center on Green Street in Weymouth. That's where the Veteran Services Officer, that's where George lives with his great assistant. And that great turn, great job, George. I'm glad you called in tonight. We have a show next week as well and the week after that. So we got a couple more weeks. So if you want to, you know, drop me a quick line or whatever, just remind me so that we'll remind the audience the next couple of weeks. Because you can fit quite a few people there. From what I remember.
Well, this is going to be at the American Legion in South Weymouth.
Yes.
And we can fit, we can fit a good number. We had a good showing last year. This is the second year we're doing it. And, you know, it's just a way of, you know, bringing some people that served during a time together and hopefully make some new friends and renew some old ones.
Can talk show hosts attend?
Absolutely.
Yeah, except for one.
I promise not to bring Wolfie.
I banned it. So that's at the Bean Post on Hollis Street in Weymouth. I've driven by a lot of times, George, and that's George Ponce, absolutely one of the best VSOs ever out of Weymouth.
No question. George, great job. Well, hey, we'll look forward to seeing you on the 29th. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. Next week we get another VSO, Chris Buckley, coming in, so it'll be
super guy.
Yeah, it'll be VSO night. So, George, if you're driving by and you want to stop in, We'd love to have you on. You always, bring something to the party.
All right. Very kind, Greg. Very kind. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, George, anytime. Once again, that was March 29th at the American Legion Post in South Weymouth from 2 to 4, honoring the Vietnam veterans on the 50th anniversary. George, thanks a lot for bringing that in, and I'm sure you'll sell the place out.
Great. Well, yep, we won't be selling anything, but we hope we fill it.
Oh, well, we'll do our best to give you a hand. Thanks a lot, George.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Take care. That was George Potts, as you know, one of the best VSOs. We're really blessed here in the Commonwealth of Mass to have a Veteran Services Officer. As you know, Keith German is the VSO in Hingham that does a great job. And there's just some VSOs are a step above, and we're lucky almost in the whole surrounding area we get some great ones. But we got a great engineer over there that's waiting to take us to our first commercial break. So why don't you take us away to our first break, Larry, and we'll be back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. Greg Brasso, your host of Veterans Voice Radio here with Sergeant Matt Russell from the the U.S. Army National Guard. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for doing what you do. I'm sure it's a fulfilling mission, helping to get new recruits involved in the Guard.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me here.
Sure. Now, you had mentioned that some of God's men and women might enlist at 17 or 18. Is there what do you think is the prime age? If somebody's listening to the show right now and maybe has a son or a daughter, or maybe they want to get back into service, do you right. get some veterans returning to the Guard that may have been full-time with other branches?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I just on Tuesday of this week, I just enlisted someone who was prior service Marines, came right back in, and now is in the Guard. He wanted to continue his service. He's actually a Fall River cop. And he decided that, hey, listen, I'm going to be a Fall River cop. I like the military, I like the, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, the two pensions are always better than one. So,
and he continues to serve his country, which
absolutely.
Is so important.
And how important does the camaraderie? come into play that he still has his band of brothers right there at his side.
Right. I think a lot of when it comes to prior service, I think that's one of the biggest factors when they try to come back in is that they miss that camaraderie.
Yeah.
And they want to get back to that setting. And I think it's just it's a great reason to come in. But that's usually when I deal with prior service, that's their biggest.
And no matter how tight they are, maybe with the whether it's a firefighter or a police officer, if they're not veterans, there's just that. There's just something missing, and it's hard to explain that, but so it's great that they're coming back in.
But once you see it, you understand it
absolutely.
It's something that we see every month. We have a food drive through down here, and we have a group of volunteers that show up as much to be with each other. Right. As it is for the happiness and the joy of handing out the food and being with everybody. But Guardsmen, you get called out sometimes in the worst of circumstances.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I personally have shoveled out the Red Line in Boston when there was a huge snowstorm and the snow was too high for like the plows on the trains to work.
Yeah.
We got activated. We went out there and we hand shoveled the whole Red Line, I was exhausted. I tell you right now, I was exhausted. But, at the end of the day, when you look back at it, you go, listen, what you did was you allowed people to go to their jobs, daycares, go to their doctor's appointments, things like that.
Sure.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do it because a lot of people rely on
public transportation.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a mission that who else is going to do it?
Right. But that's what's good about us because we're like the jack of all trades. We kind of like do all different kinds of stuff, whether it's, bringing supplies to, like during COVID, we brought supplies to all the hospitals. We worked in nursing homes. Our 68 Whiskeys, our medics worked in nursing homes. There was a bus driver shortage. We got activated for that. We drove buses.
Yeah. I know one I bet you don't know. We got called up for the legal migrants to get work papers. They took an army base. They never told anybody. They asked us to come up because they knew I could keep a secret because I would forget that I was there. And I think we did 10,000 over a week, and they had the National Guard come there to take care of everybody. So there was no problems. There was no issues. They clicked like nothing. They moved in busload after busload.
Specialize in logistics, don't you?
Yeah.
Moving bodies and assets.
10,000 people to get work papers. These were all illegal.
Yeah.
And there was such a bottleneck to get work papers. Everyone said, go to work. They don't have papers to go to work. So they grabbed an army base. They got all the National Guard in there. And I was a little concerned when I first got there. And there's all the guys and girls come right up. Boom. It was the smoothest, nicest thing. Everyone was so happy.
Sure
is. It was an honor to be with it. Everybody was honored to take care of it. It was a secret thing. It was never in the press. It was never in the paper.
Well, and look at what the guy did during the blizzard
Thank
of 78. Wolfie,
yeah.
You were around in the blizzard of 78.
Yeah, they were the
down
first
to Situate
in
Hull. Couldn't get down there. The guards out there with your big deuce and a halfs and your front end loaders and stuff and saving a lot of lives.
Yeah.
I mean, down that was saving lives. That was desperate, really some of the most desperate times that we've seen is catastrophic in this area. And nothing against shoveling snow, but saving people is a great accomplishment. So, who should consider coming down to talk to you about seeing if they have the right stuff to be a God's person?
Well, I mean, it really just depends on what your situation is, and especially like you had mentioned, what mothers and fathers want their son or daughters to come down and see me. The kind of benefits that the educational benefits that I know we're going to get into later, but the educational benefits that they get, the training that they'll get, the discipline, money, because, what kid doesn't like money nowadays? Yeah. And just the experience and the self-discovery of it, too. Because, when I sit down with a new applicant and I talk to him and I say, when you go to basic training, that's going to be experience that you'll never forget. And you're going to go through a lot of things with those people that you're going to stay friends with for like 10 plus years, maybe even longer.
Yep.
And, you'll really find out what your limits are because, basic training really pushes your limits to find out what they are and to push beyond them. and also to find out, you know, what your strengths, what your weaknesses are, work on them, identifying them, as well as developing discipline. So it really just depends on what appeals to you. But, you know, for those high school kids, this is definitely something to start your, you know, your adult life off correctly.
So, when someone signs up for the guard, they don't just sign up to stand up straight and hold a rifle. They stand up, they sign up to do tasks.
Yeah.
And what sort of missions are available to potential guards people? What sort of job descriptions or titles are you looking for? And maybe somebody with those skills would, on the outside, would want to join the guard to further their skills, because we're going to talk about your educational benefits that are outstanding.
Yes. So we have over 76 jobs in the Mass National Guard. Every state in the country has its own National Guard, and they have their own job selections. In Massachusetts, like, we have all different kinds of jobs, and it depends on what field you want to get into, but we have things that range all over the place. So if you want to be, we have infantry, we have military police, we have quartermaster, we have
communications.
We have communications, logistics.
Yeah.
Aviation is one of the big units that we have down here. A lot of the transportation, a lot of the drivers and the mechanics and things like that, a lot of equipment repair. I have a retention unit where I talk to guys that are in that are within 1 year of getting out of the military, and they have to talk to me, and we talk about what the opportunities are, what their life plan is, and things like that, and make sure that they're using every benefit that they have available to them. And that's it's down in Bourne, and it's an engineering unit. So you got your electricians, you got your carpenters, all that kind of stuff. All those kind of trade jobs are in that unit, and that's another thing that the guard can offer you, is to teach you an actual trade that you can bring to the civilian life.
Is that training, so you don't have to be experienced as a carpenter in order to join the guard, and I want to work as a carpenter out in the field somewhere?
Right.
You can do that.
Yes, absolutely. So if you have some passion as to some career field that you want to be in, what we will do is we will train you and pay you to learn that trade. And then when you get out, when you're done with your initial training, you can actually take that experience that you have and go get licensed, and we'll pay for your licensing and all that kind of stuff, and then start that career. We have programs like Helmets to Hard Hats that basically take military members who have that trade and get them into the union.
Yep.
I know that there's one of the schools that I cover in Hanover. It's South Shore
Vo- South Shore Vo-Tech.
Yeah, South Shore Vo-Tech.
Love South Shore Vo-Tech.
Yeah, they're the guy who runs all the programs, Paul Bello, actually gets money to run these trade classes, and they actually help you get a job once you're done with it. So, like, if you come in with that military training, then go and get the civilian training, then get a job, and any trade job right now,
golden.
I mean, you're pretty golden, yeah. Absolutely.
Golden. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a trade program going on at our festival on July 13th in Quincy, because we feel that college is great for a lot of kids, but some kids not so great for it, and the unions offer a great deal of training as well. Yeah. Now, would you work with the different unions and maybe give your kids some credit in their training towards becoming an apprentice?
Absolutely. I mean, when you have the prior training, it just has to be, you know, dependent on the program.
Yeah.
But one thing I always say, too, is that there's 36, I think there's more than that. I think there's like 4,200 members of the National Guard in Massachusetts. And all of them who do the part-time, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer, they have civilian jobs. So when I sit down with an appointment, I say, hey, listen, it's kind of like a sorority or fraternity where, you know, there's someone in the guard that is in that field already that can tell you where to go, who to talk to, be a reference, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like having a job, you know, referral service, basically once you complete your training.
Beautiful.
So there's all different kinds of things that you can do.
Beautiful.
Well,
and at this point, Larry, why don't we take our halftime break? And when we come back, I want to talk about the educational benefits. You hit on it a minute ago, and I want to continue that because, you know, you could be a roadmap to enable a lot of kids that may be questionable as far as affording college.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can make that fear go away. Larry, why don't you take the second break, and we'll be back after these messages. right to the top of the class. A very classy show tonight. We have a young man here that's with the National Guard and talking about all of its wonderfulness. But one of the things that we talked about was the education opportunities available. I was just watching television today, and there was a young girl that just got a full boat to Princeton, $384,000 for 4 years. Well, if you got $384,000 to spend on...
We haven't earned that much in all
in our lives, $384,000. Yeah. So
that's not for books and sneakers either.
No, that's... No, there's...
And cookies. There's,
No. It's just for the having the Princeton name... I don't know, Sergeant, maybe not as valuable as having the National Guard on your resume, huh?
Right.
Especially with the educational benefits. So,
oh, yeah.
Now, what type of programs? Now, say Justin. No, Justin's already smart. Wolfie wants to come to learn something. So he figures, hey, the Guard maybe is a way to go. So once Wolfie joins the Guard, at what point is he... Are educational benefits opportunities available to him? When can he start using them? What would someone look forward to?
Absolutely. So first thing I want to say is, you know, when someone comes into the Guard, it's not going to, like, some kids or some people are kind of have reservations about, you know, if I do the Guard, then I'm not going to be able to do this or I'm not going to be able to do that. I always tell them that the Guard is never going to close any doors for you. It's only going to open more. Right.
Yeah,
so if you want to go the traditional route, right, once you join the National Guard, it's actually a Massachusetts state law. And this is just specific to Massachusetts National Guard, because, like I said, every National Guard in each state has its own benefits. So what you get in Massachusetts, you might not get in other states.
Sure.
But in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts law is as soon as you join the National Guard and enlist, you get 100% tuition and fees paid for to any state school in Massachusetts for all 4 years.
Even for you, Wolfie.
So you got to get in first.
We're signing you up.
One barrier for that.
Yeah.
Boy, 4 years on a ride is, and the state schools are fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
People come in from all over the country to go to the state schools here.
And I mean, that's, you know, a lot of these kids are like, no, I want to go to the big schools. I want to go to, like, you know, Syracuse, or I want to go to, you know, one of those big schools. And I tell them, I said, well, what can you get at those schools that you can't get at someplace like UMass Lowell? UMass Amherst. One of the schools that we, and is very popular in this area, is Mass Maritime.
Oh, yeah.
Mass Maritime Academy. And that is considered a state school. So we could send you to Mass Maritime for
free. My two nephews both graduated from Mass Maritime and are doing spectacular. One just retired at age 55, I think.
Right.
Just terrific, tremendous careers. And Mass Maritime has really expanded its career offering now. Before, you were only either a deckhand or an engineer. Now you get all kinds of different career paths available. Interesting. You know, and one of the career paths that we're now developing is the career path into the waterworks purification field, that all the cities and towns have all these folks...
So I have a story to
tell.
Doing
water. They want to hire all the kids from Mass Maritime because they used to handle in all the pipes and
but
stuff.
But we have a story that you don't know.
Uh-oh.
Sergeant Russell's going to tell you where he went and why he went there.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Let's follow into that.
All right. So, when I first...
Can I get some popcorn?
Yeah.
Nope.
When I first came into the Guard, I came in as a water treatment specialist.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
So, you know, so cool. I came in as a water treatment specialist, and, you know, my unit was first in Bridgewater, then I went to Worcester, then I came back to Rehoboth. But one of the things that we did in that is one of our annual trainings, which is, you know, 2 weeks in the summer.
Yeah.
After Haiti had a bad earthquake years back, we actually went over there and worked with other National Guards from other states, and we purified their well water and made it safe for them to drink.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, to do that was...
Well, imagine.
Yeah. An experience in itself. And I mean, as we were talking, we were just talking about what the situation is over there for, like, the homeless people and stuff.
Sure.
But more specifically,
people with homes aren't much better off.
Right.
I mean, they're liable to fall down in a heartbeat, the poor people over there. Every 5 or 10 years, they get wiped out by another something.
Right.
It's a good thing the guide goes over to help rebuild.
Yeah. So we were over there, and one of the things that happened when I was over there is that we were one of the last rotations. So we had to empty. We had like a 20,000-gallon tank of water that we had purified that we had to like empty. And because we were packing up all our equipment and stuff. And rather than just let it like, you know, drain out onto the sand, we actually hooked it up to a pump and we shot it over the Constantine wire that was around us. And it was like opening day at WaterWiz for the
really?
Yeah. Because they don't have that kind of stuff, you know?
Wow.
And I will never forget, I walked up to a mother holding a baby and I had one of those little Johnson & Johnson shampoos.
Yeah.
And I gave it to her and I was like, here, use this to wash the baby. Cool. And the look that she gave me will be forever imprinted in my mind.
Wow.
And you know,
wow.
I can honestly look back at that moment and say, you know, I feel like I made a kind of difference in the world. And I never would have had that opportunity without the National Guard. So, like, I always tell people, too, if they're thinking about the Guard or the military, just if you ever want to make a difference, become part of something bigger than yourself or, you know, make a change in the world, if that's an aspiration for you, this is one way you can absolutely do it.
So the educational benefits begin immediately.
Yes, they do. And, you know, those are 100% tuition and fees to any state school in Massachusetts.
And it's not like you don't have the time because, okay, now Wolfie's going to sign up for the Guard.
Actually, how do you do it?
Yeah,
you
call the sergeant. Okay, Wolfie's going to sign up. Where does he go?
Okay.
What's the plan like?
Yeah, so you either give me a call, send me a text message or whatever.
How do you do that? You got to start from scratch.
Oh,
the
okay.
Kids are smart. The guys our age that are listening, you got to talk slowly.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
And we
okay.
have to explain, and we give phone numbers.
You got to give us slow so we can tell everybody else, so talk slowly.
No, I gotcha. So my phone number, you'd call my phone number. It's 508-326-3792.
326-3792.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can call or text for, you know, the non-old people.
And that sets up an appointment? Is that?
Yes. So you talk to me. We have a short conversation. We set up an appointment. I kind of go over, you know, eligibility, qualifications. I go over, you know, your medical history, things like that, because that's a big part of the process. And then I give you a presentation. I tell you what the Guard is, what your commitment is, what's expected of you, the timetable, all the benefits, what the difference is between active duty, reserves, and National Guard, what the difference between is a state mission and a federal mission, and what's the difference between state benefits as opposed to federal benefits.
So state versus a federal mission, is it my understanding that the Guardsman could be called to either situation, either a federal or a state?
That's correct.
Situation?
Mm-hmm.
You have two bosses, I think, don't you? The governor and the president?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we do the state mission probably more than anything else.
Sure.
Although in the past, like, couple years, it's definitely ramped up.
Sure.
But the state mission is what we do more than anything else, and that's when the governor activates the National Guard and we go do whatever they need us to do.
Well, it was huge during the COVID that you folks stepped.
100%.
It was huge that you shoveled the red line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? Wait for it to melt?
Right.
And it was hard. Back-breaking work, one shovel at a time. Holy moly.
Absolutely.
And think about all the medical people that use the red line. I mean, that's a main line in. So
of course.
All your nurses and dentists and anybody who works in the medical field, that was the only way to travel. So without these guys, they would have shut it right down.
But going back to the sign-up, you said the medical. Do they need to have something in advance to hand you, like a note from the doctor?
Nope. It's just a simple conversation just to get your medical history. What that does is allows me to know if there's something that you would like need a waiver for, or if it was disqualifying, or if what kind of documentation that we would need in order to address that.
Right.
But it's a case-by-case basis. Even if you think that you don't qualify, you're not going to know unless you tell me. I mean, there's some things that are, you know, if you have heavy asthma, like that's, you know. But
that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. But if you're allergic to something, maybe you had asthma when you're a kid, but now you don't. Like, all different kinds of scenarios, it really is situational dependent. So after that first appointment, I get your basic information so I can create your profile in my system. And then I give you a practice test that you can take at home. Or if you feel confident enough, I can schedule a test to be taken up in Boston. And that's at the Military Entrance Processing Station, which is on Summer Street in the Seaport District, right next to the convention center. And then our next appointment, we schedule our next appointment, and then the next one is we get your fingerprints just to make sure you're not a felon. And we also go through that medical screening form again, and you sign a document that just makes sure that the medical evaluation is correct.
Yep.
We also sign some forms for consent to take the test, to take the physical, which it happens all at the same place in Boston.
Yep.
Then once we're due with that, we go up and we actually have you take the test, and depending on what you get on the test, we'll tell us what jobs you qualify for.
That's an aptitude test?
It is, yep. It's okay. Called the ASVAB.
Yeah.
So with that test going up to take it, you're going to find out what jobs you qualify for. You're going to find out what incentives you qualify for. And with that information, I can tell you when you leave, when you'd come back, how much you get paid, all that kind of stuff.
And approximately how long would they go through a 6-week training period? So after Wolfie signs up on July 1st, when would he go away? August 1st, September 1st?
It depends. So, because, you know, like, for instance, I'm working a high school junior right now, and he's probably going to go to basic training in between his junior and senior year, come back, do his senior year, and then actually go to his job training after he graduates high school. For high school seniors, you won't go to basic training until at least 10 days after your graduation date.
Okay.
And then you do your basic and AIT or job training there. But it really just depends on what situation you're in. But basic training is either in Oklahoma, South Carolina, Missouri, or Georgia. And it's 10 weeks long.
10 weeks?
10 weeks long. So basically 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And then depending on what job you pick, and depending on what the situation is, you'll go immediately to your job training, which varies in length depending on the job you pick.
During that 10-week period of time, you'd go into some of your job training? Is that when you do that?
No, the first 10 weeks is just basic training.
Just basic, okay.
If you're learning how to Army, you're earning the right to wear the uniform, and we also train with the reserves and active duty. So we all train together, so we all learn the same thing. It's not a separate training. Same thing with the job training. So that first basic training is probably the hardest.
Yeah.
But
little physical, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
And once you get through that, then it's...
Yes. Well, one thing I get a common, I would say common, but, most of the time I would get a lot of people that say, I couldn't survive basic training. And that's... And I can understand why people say that, because, the movies painted a different picture, and, sometimes they just look up on YouTube
some
many times.
Some DI over whipping you with his his belt thing, because you can only do 600 push-ups.
Yeah. But what I tell them is that as long as you try, they will not let you fail. Right. So the only thing that you have to do is make the effort.
Make an effort.
You know what I mean? And if you are going to fail, the only way that you can fail is if you choose to fail. If you give up and say, I don't want to do this anymore, you have to decide that you're not doing it. Yeah. Because I guarantee you, if you don't do that, you're going to get through.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But at this point, Lad, why don't we take our last break here, Lad? We'll come back with our fourth quarter wrap-up of tonight's unbelievable show with the God. We're going to come back and talk some more about the educational benefits and life after the God, way, way after the God, retirement, and how does that affect what Michael wants. So, Lad, why don't you take it away, kid, and we'll be back after these messages. Oh. Welcome back, everybody. Greg Brasso, your host of Veterans Voice Radio here, as we're talking to Sergeant Russell about the benefits of the Massachusetts National Guard that's on duty 24 hours a day. My father-in-law years ago, bless him, he's passed away, was a colonel in the Guard. And he could, his statement on the weekend, you can sleep well tonight. Your Guard is on ready. Oh, boy, and he was a guardsman up to here. He just loved it. He loved drilling. It was part of his life. And I'm sure you have a lot of folks that are with you for a long time, long period of time.
Absolutely. I myself have been, I'm in my 15th year now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So what happens now when you retire from the Guard? Is there a retirement policy, a retirement program available to you? And what kind of qualifications do you need to get there to, yeah. to receive those retirement benefits?
Well, the retirement is definitely based on what rank you are, you know, just how long you've been in. The ideal goal is 20 years.
And so that's at the minimum 20?
No, depending on what it is, because like if you're being discharged medically, it could
right.
be less.
But
for everything, yeah, it's 20 years to get that pension. And again, what you get paid for it is based on what your rank is and how long you've been in that rank. One thing too, though, is once you hit 20 years, you have pretty much health insurance for the rest of rest of your time.
Beautiful.
So, but yeah, it really just depends on how you're doing it and what's going on.
Are you getting a lot of recruits in the 20s, in the 20 age range? I mean, because they're getting set up wonderfully, whether they know it or not.
Right.
I mean, just by having this in their back pocket, they have a nice little hammer to go through life with to kind of clear away some of the
right.
excess stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I get kind of three groups of people. One is the prior service guys who want to come back in for the camaraderie. Then I get the high school kids who want to go to college and get it paid for.
Yeah.
Then I got the people in the middle who, you know, maybe they went to college, it didn't work out. Maybe they started a job. Maybe they're at a dead-end job or like a job where they don't see any growth or they're stagnant or they really just don't have anything going on. Those are, you know, the people that I get where I'm like, listen, you want to do something different, change your life because your situation changed or your priorities are different, this is a great way to start.
Here's 42 choices for you.
Yeah.
Which way do you want to go?
And I can confidently say that because I was that person.
Wow.
I didn't join until I was like 23 because, you know, my wife Marissa, she got pregnant and I was working a job just to provide for us and, you know, I was awake when my kids were asleep when my kids were awake and I wasn't going anywhere and I was like, you know what, I just need to make a change.
Yeah.
And you know, at that point I was like, you know, just getting back to zero, if you know what I mean, for money.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what, I want to do this. I met a guy at work who's actually been my best friend for 15 years and you know, started it, got through it, and it was rough at first, but it gave me the basis to come up. And now that I'm a recruiter and now doing a job that I love to do, you know, I'm able to provide for my family, provide for my children, give them what they want, put a roof over our heads and everything.
How many guardsmen would you say go to work full-time for? Are you full-time for the guard?
I am full-time, yes.
So how many other, are there other full-time jobs that guardsmen could apply for?
Absolutely.
There are. So you might only go a weekend a month and part-time, but you might go to work full-time for the guard?
Yes. So we have different positions. We have AGR, which is Active Guard Reserve, which is basically you're on active duty. That's your full-time 24/7. Mine is, but there's other jobs that are like, you know, Monday through Friday work weeks. We also have technicians. Technicians are like usually our mechanics, shop supervisors, things like that. Those are like salary jobs, but they're also full-time. And what they do is they go, you know, do their job during the week, but
yep.
then still go to their drilling unit when they drill.
Wow.
So
okay.
out of the 4,200 in Massachusetts, what, third full-time or a quarter?
I'd say quarter.
Quarter.
I'd say
full-time.
A quarter, yeah. And then there's also opportunities for temporary full-time. We call them ADOS. And those are like for as-needed positions. They're only for a short period of time. So, you know, depending on, like, for instance, an ADOS for us is our recruiting assistant. Basically, he's there. Usually it's a, you know, E1 to E4, which is the military rank structure.
Yep.
And they just assist us in what we need to do. And they're like on orders for like a couple of months at a time.
Right.
So, but those come with funding and they're always available for different things. But there's a lot of full-time opportunities, temporary full-time opportunities, and also, you know, opportunities to go to other places and be there. For instance, we have a military police unit that's now over in Texas at the border.
I'm sure the Department of Homeland Security would love to talk to God's people and recruit them full-time. As I'm talking to you, Sergeant, I feel that you have a legitimate like for what you're doing.
I do. I was a manager all my life. I managed different pizza places. I worked at UPS. I worked at these different places, and I always love interacting with people, taking care of them, setting up for the success, and have them look to me as like a person of inspiration.
Yeah.
And I think with this job, it's even better because I get to watch them grow and succeed. And when they're doing the things that they want to do and the goals that they set out for, and I see that and I'm like, you know what? I couldn't be happier that I helped you get there.
I wish when I was going to college that I had someone like you there to talk to me about joining the Guard, because I couldn't afford the $200 it took to go to Bridgewater State.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's what it was for
probably,
my
yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, right.
68, that's where I was. And I was so immature, so not ready to be on my own. But, you know, to be trained and helped by the Guard, holy moly, you know, that would have made all the difference in my life. And I've almost assimilated some things from you just tonight. And just from the military folks that we all have on as guests, I think Wolfie and Justin and I, we all get a little bit of something from everybody that comes on. And what, you know what Dr. Joe says, Wolfie, about
small changes have a big effect.
And you affect, what is it, you can...
Change no one, no.
You can influence everybody.
And change no
one.
Influence everyone. Yeah, change
well,
we're gonna
no have to
one.
We're
pretty
everyone.
Good. This isn't exactly...
But the National Guard thing is small changes make big effects. That's what his deal is. So you do some small thing and it makes gigantic changes. Read the number, or a little guy's going to beat up a big guy.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
You want one of these?
Yeah.
The phone number again, 508-326-3792.
And that would be for someone interested in joining the Guard. Parents calling up about maybe some information for their kids. I mean, how can you not? If you have any doubts about affording college...
I know, and not just about college, but if you have no direction or you don't know what you're going to do, this is also a great thing. And I love talking to parents. It's like one of my favorite things to do, talking to the parents, because the parents understand the long term benefits of what this does and what this sets them up for.
And can you quote change your majors while you're in the Guard? Oh, you're doing this, but now this kind of sucks. I want to do this over there, so you could apply and go through the. Whatever's to be
called reclassing.
Yep. Okay.
So you can get a different job. After you spend a certain amount of time in your first job, you can reclass into another job. So really just depends. But there's all different kind of routes you can go to.
Wow. And where would the weekend drills be held?
It depends on what job you have.
Okay.
Every unit. For instance, up in Hingham, where my office is, that's the 1058 Transportation Company. So you got your drivers, you got your mechanics, you got your cooks, you got all different kinds of things where that's just their unit, so you can get assigned there. But the engineers, the retention unit that I have, is all the pavers and the electricians and stuff like that, and they're down in Bourne. So it really just depends on what job you have.
Wow.
But
wow.
you get to kind of pick where you go, because in the Massachusetts National Guard, you stay in Massachusetts. You don't go outside the state. So depending on what job you have, then you can, you know, kind of pick where you want to go.
Really interesting, don't you think, Justin?
Every time I hear about these new benefits and reflect on 40, 50 years ago, what was given to us coming out, it's a different world. But I thank you for coming on, Sarge. It's well worth having you tonight.
Absolutely.
And well, one more time, your phone number, Sergeant?
Sure. Phone number is 508-326-3792.
And all you veterans out there, if you're listening and you feel like to talk, need to talk to somebody, 988. Just those three little numbers, 988. Even Wolfie knows them now, and we don't have to write them down anymore. We're living them, and people are living better because of 988 at the prompt, press 1, and there's a trained counselor there to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. You lead the way, and they'll help you out. So, goodbye, everybody. Next week, we have a great VSO, Veteran Services Officer, Chris Buckley, coming on. That's one of our favorites. Take care, everybody. Wolfie, thanks. Brother Justin, thank you.
Thanks.
Sergeant, thank you so much for what you're
doing. Thanks for having me.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. They die young. I just looked around and it's gone.